And it sure is good to see everyone this morning. If you're visiting with us, please just make yourself right at home. We're thankful to have you with us. It's good to see y'all. I've been real excited about getting here this morning and thinking about Mother's Day and what have you. But before we get too far down the road, I did want to tell everyone again, thank you so much for the meal last week. I appreciate that. Brandy, she done good. She kept it a secret. I didn't know. So she done good with that. And so I'm thankful, thankful for that, thankful for you, and just really, really excited to be here. And I want to tell all the mothers, happy Mother's Day. I'm so glad that you're here. Thankful for you. Like it's already been said and I've said before, without you, there wouldn't be any of the rest of us. So that's an important, very important thing. But we love our mothers, and I do want to say, if you do have your mom, please, if at all possible, maybe spend some time with her today. And if not, just also maybe reflect on some of the memories and times that you had. You know, I tell you what, I'm thankful for our mothers, our Christian mothers, and bringing us to church and what have you. I know there's all kinds of different situations. I guess account for mine, but I'm thankful for my parents and thankful that they come to church with us. I think about that often. That's a blessing, to have them here with us. So if you'd like to, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. This is among some of my favorite scripture that I've read in the Bible. And as far as, you know, I guess you could say too, something that's actually really affected my life. Maybe there's different scriptures that you might have that you hold on to for whatever reason. The Lord's really made it an effect on your life. But this is one of those. Now, I'm not preaching it probably the exact same way that I heard it preached before by Brother John Googe, who he's already gone on. But I thought about you, Brother Nathan, in studying this. He's talking about a message he heard one time about this barrel. And I said, I heard a message one time about this barrel. And he said, it's over at Mountaindale. I said, yeah, that's where I heard the message. And he named out Brother John Gould. I said, that's the same message. And I wasn't there in person to hear it, but Dad had got a copy of it. And he had gave me a copy of it to listen to. And I remember listening to it going into work one morning. And at that time of my life, I was in law enforcement, and so it's kind of, I wasn't in church like I should have been. I mean, it's hard when you're working in law enforcement. It's kind of, you rotate around so much. We had 4 days on, 4 days off. It would rotate really where you would be in church or have the opportunity to be in church 4 weeks in a row, and then about 4 weeks in a row you wouldn't. And I tell you, that'll affect you. If you're a Christian, not being in church will affect you negatively. I want you to know that. It has negative effects on your life. If you realize it or not, you get cold, getting different about things. But that message really put things in perspective for me. His title was, Whose Meal is in Your Barrel? And he was talking about learning to live off the Lord versus living off yourself and your means. And I want you to know, our means will run out pretty quick, the very, very best we can do. And one thing, and I'll go ahead and say this here too, you know, when you read this and the way Brother John was talking about it too, I remember times, and you probably will too, especially if you're older, times in your life that you might be wondering, now do we have enough to make ends meet? I guess maybe it's still like that today, I'm sure, in some occasions or what have you, but I think that a lot of times people financially are taken care of, but are you taken care of spiritually? Are you focusing on the inside versus on the outside? You can probably find more work maybe sometimes and get around and stay busy working and bringing in the money, but if you're doing that and you're neglecting the inside, you're still in a famine. I want you to know that. And a spiritual famine is worse than a physical famine. I want us to really know that. But I appreciate these scriptures and what it means, and I was thinking about Mother's Day and different messages that could be preached and what have you. You think about Psalms 31, I guess, or Proverbs 31. You think about that virtuous woman and what have you and everything. But I thought it would be good this morning to look at something that's maybe a little bit outside of the box as far as what you'd call a Mother's Day message, because here's the thing about it too. Talking to some of my preacher friends this morning, what have you, they also said statistically Mother's Day is one of those Sundays that you have a higher volume of people come to church, you know, kind of like Easter sometimes, some like Christmas, what have you. So it would be a shame to only preach to the mothers on an occasion where maybe a lot of people are going to be here, right? Wouldn't you want to reach out and reach the masses, preach to reach each? That's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? But I like this here and what it has to say, and learned some things always in the Word of God and new things that I didn't know before about this scripture here in and of itself, and I thought was very interesting. But we'll read these verses, and then we'll get into the message this morning. All right, 1 Kings 17, beginning at verse number 1, we'll read through 16. And it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of Gilead said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years according to my word." And it goes into verse number 2, and it says, "The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is there before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, this is a sad part here. Said, and she said, As the Lord thy God, pay attention to that, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Father, I can't thank you enough, Lord, for this day. Again, the opportunity to be here, just seeing the beautiful weather outside, seeing the folks that are able to be here today. God, I thank you for each one. Appreciate them greatly. God, any visitors, please just make them feel welcome. So thankful to see many family and friends we don't get to see quite often, but thankful that they're here, Lord. We're thankful for that. God, we're thankful for our mothers. God, I'm thankful that I still have mine. And just the time we get to have together to fellowship, to talk, counsel over things, Lord, appreciate that. And Lord, I just pray that you be with each one, that they would have a good day today. And those whose mothers have gone on, God, I pray that you help them to have a good day today and remembering some things and just consoling and helping them there, Lord. I know there's many different circumstances, but we know that you're the God of all. And you're the God of all consolation, God. And we lean on you in the hard times and praise you in the good times, Lord. But I pray you help me today to deliver the message that you've given, God. Help me with every word that's said, that you'd guide me in my mind, in my heart, in my mouth, Lord. I just want to preach it the way you've given it to me, God. And want it to be a help. Help to our mothers and help to those others that are here today, God. Go with us, Lord. And those that are lost, I pray, God, that you help them see that need, Lord, the most important need of anybody here today is the need of salvation if they're not saved. But Lord, go with us today and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, just want to give it the title, The Barrel Wasted Not. The Barrel Wasted Not. That was probably the hardest part of preparing the message. This message is giving it a title, because if you've been in church long, you've probably heard these verses maybe and what have you, and probably heard it preached maybe a few different ways, but there's probably not too many different ways you can preach this one based on the provision that God has and the way He worked. But I did learn something here, and I'll mention that in just a second. But you see that a drought is coming upon the nation of Israel, and that's usually because of judgment or something wrong is taking place. Now, if you recall and remember, been talking a lot about creation recently in studies and Sunday school and even on Wednesday nights and what have you, but who is in control of creation? God Himself, isn't He? Amen. You think, Brother Al, you think, well, why is there a famine? Who sent the famine? What happened? Well, there's only one that can send a drought or send a famine, and that's God Himself. We don't have that control. We don't have that power. Maybe there were times that kings maybe had enough manpower to keep people away from things, but they couldn't dry up the waters and they couldn't stop this and what have you. But when you look even over in James 5:17, you know, he had prayed about this. Elijah had prayed about this, and he was a prophet. And so the way that worked at this point in time, God worked through his prophets. It was still his power and authority, but he worked through his prophets. And you see Elijah here proclaiming that there's going to be a drought. There's going to be a famine. The question is, why? Why? Well, you look at Israel at this time under King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Anybody heard of them? Bad. Just go ahead and just write down beside that when you see their name, bad king, bad queen. Probably about the worst that you'll find in the Bible, among the very worst that you'll find in the Bible. And it's sad when you see a nation like Israel, when you see a nation like the United States fall into the hands of bad leadership. That's a bad thing, isn't it? I don't care what time of history we live in, bad leadership is bad leadership, and it costs the nation. And that's what happened here with Israel. What was going on, this drought, was because Israel had fallen into idolatry under Ahab and Jezebel. I tell you, it doesn't take much a reading in the book of 1 Kings here. You see a lot of things that Elijah dealt with. He had his hands full with that couple. He had his hands full with them, and it even just gets more and more as you read on into the next chapter. But I tell you what victories that the Lord sent using Elijah, but what victories the Lord had against these people and what he was doing. But you look at the name Elijah here, verse number 17, Elijah the Tishbite. The name Elijah means Yahweh is God. So you see and know that he is sent of God, being a prophet, of course, and the man of God. He's the one proclaiming this, that no dew or rain would be for about 3 years. And you look at it again later in the New Testament, it declares it 3.5 years. But it was because of the idolatry under this leadership. Now, I tell you, like you and I, we don't really do without. You know, I mean, think about it. I'm just being honest with myself. I do remember times in my life that it was tighter maybe than what it is now. But I think for you and me, I don't know that we've really fully experienced a 3.5 year drought. Have you? Have you gone 3.5 years thinking about where am I going to get my food from? You can't say, I'm going to go to the grocery store and get it. Well, the grocery stores wouldn't have it if we had a famine. If you had a true drought, nobody would have it. You're just going to be running out. Nobody would have it. And the thing about it is, everybody would be affected. You see, here it is. You can say it like this. Well, Elijah's the man of God, right? He's proclaiming this. He's praying about this famine. He's proclaiming it. So surely he's immune to this, but he wasn't. He's part of the nation of Israel. That's where he lived. It affected everybody. It affected everybody. I tell you this morning that sin, idolatry, standing against God affects every single one of us. It affects everybody. You look at the nation, you look at our situation, you know, here in America and what have you, if you have bad leadership, it affects us all. It doesn't matter what your party affiliation is, anything like that, it affects us all. And I'll say also on the other side, if you have good leadership, it affects us all as well. A lot of times people wouldn't want to admit that or agree to that, but it's the truth. Good and bad in things, but it affects us all. And that's what was happening here. But here's the thing to look at for Elijah. God didn't leave him without. He told him where to go. He said, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you somewhere if you'll listen to me. And that's the way it is much today also, because if you look down at verse number 2, verses 2 through 7, you see some guidance that is given. And I want us to see the importance of that this morning. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, plainly, clearly, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. And that's a simple thought if you read it real fast and you blow by it. But here's the thing. Did you know you have access to the word of God also? Every single one of us. It's not copywritten. You can use it however you want to. You got access to it 24/7. You have it. And that's how we get our guidance today. Not in something bad just happened. Now what am I going to do? How am I going to figure this out? Where can I go and stock up? You look at it in this day and time too. There was a lot of movement. And with Elijah moving from this place to the next place, it would be hard to carry three and a half years worth of food and water, wouldn't it? That's a lot. And I've noticed too, you look in the Old Testament especially, you look back there, a lot of times they'd have a morsel or a cake and some water, and then they'd go maybe 40 days. Have you ever done that? My goodness. I had to go 48 hours one time on a liquid diet, and that was bad. We tried the 24 hours and said, no, we're going to have to go 48 next time. That was bad. If you like lime jello, you can have all of mine. I don't like it. And I don't like grape drink much. Well, I like some of it. There's some Ghost that tastes pretty good. I mean, some of it's pretty good. But now, that grape stuff that they give you, that's not too good. But you imagine having just a small, tiny meal, and that's supposed to last you for 40 days. Boy, they lived on not a whole lot, didn't they, sometimes? Little as much when the Lord is in it, when God is in it. I can absolutely tell you that. But the word of the Lord came into him saying he was getting his guidance from God. That's the same place that you and I get our guidance today, from the word of God. And maybe you're facing something in life. I need to go. I feel like the Lord is doing something. Maybe I need to go somewhere or do something. Get in the word of God and he'll direct you. That's the same way he worked in the Old Testament and the same way he works today. He works through his word, and that's how he governs and guides us. And so he was told here, said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now this wasn't a Holiday Inn with a Golden Corral nearby. When you see it like that, you're like, okay, you know, maybe there's some skepticism there, but he's listening. He's listening. Where am I going to stay for this famine with everything that's going on? And look how God provides for him. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now you look at that. One of the things that we've talked about a little bit on Wednesday nights, but probably more so in Sunday school, is how God controls his creation. This is his. He's not bound by it like you and I are. He's free and outside of it, but he controls every bit of it. The storms that come, the rain showers that come, the sunshine that comes, the drought that comes, you know, that's of God. That's his creation. It's not ours. It's his. We are part of it and inside of it. And we likewise should be controlled by him as well. We do have a free mind. We do have a free will to decide on things, but what a blessing it is when we decide to do things God's way and the way he wants us to do it. That's what he asks of us. I mean, you think about the hardest thing and the easiest thing to do is what God's telling you to do. Just do what he tells you to do. You think God's going to tell you to do something and then tell you, figure it out along the way without giving you any provision? If he's telling you to do it, the provision is already there. You just might not see it and know it yet. What an interesting thing here, because if you stop, you got to see this. This is before he faces the Baal, the prophets of Baal, and all that goes on when the fire came down from heaven. See, this is before that. You know, when you're facing things in life, if you're going to face bigger things in life, sometimes the Lord allows smaller things to kind of condition you and help you with that. That's his mercy. That's his grace. Sometimes things are very overwhelming in life, and I get that. Sometimes things stagger us and are hard to really comprehend and understand, but God is still in control today just like he was beside this brook. He's still in control today. And so we see as it goes on here, and he said that he's commanded the ravens to feed him there, birds of the air. Predatory birds are going to bring this man food. Could you imagine waiting on that? That's in some ways, I guess, maybe more miraculous than what you saw when the manna was falling from heaven and all they had to do was go pick it up. This right here, I guess, was DoorDash. I mean, just be honest. They're bringing it to him. He didn't have to go anywhere. You got water here, and we're going to let the ravens bring it to you. And so what did he do? So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. You know how important that is? I mean, seriously. A lot of times we'll hear the command, but we won't follow through with obedience. So, Lord, that's far-fetched. You mean to tell me I'm going to camp out beside a creek and birds are going to bring me food? Are you sure? I don't know. You know, when you look at it like that, you read it and you think, yeah, that's a neat account, but that's no different than things that you and I are going through today. We get the what ifs and all that kind of stuff. Like, hey, we're trying to logically figure everything out, but if the Lord says do it, even if it doesn't make sense, just do it. He's got a reason. He's got a reason behind what he does. He doesn't do things just to see what's going to happen because he already knows. He knows what's going to happen. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now what are we going to do? Sometimes that's how life is. You be obedient. You do what you're supposed to do based off of what you learn and hear in the Word of God. And you say, well, I'm trying to do that. I'm doing what you told me to do. Why is it not working anymore? Again, I believe God allows things to happen in stages that we can learn and grow from it. But also, there's other people involved. You know, you and I are not going to be able to help people like we're supposed to until God has us where He wants us to be. We can't get that out of order. If you don't trust God like you're supposed to, you're going to have a hard time trying to help somebody else trust Him like they're supposed to. Had a friend with a cancer diagnosis some years ago, and he told me, he said, you'll not trust on the Lord like you're supposed to until you have to. And that's resonated with me, Brother Curtis, over and over. That's true. We can hypothetically think about things all day long, but until we have to, we don't know what that's like. That's an experience that you have to have one-on-one with God. And so far, Elijah's doing exactly what he was told to do. We understand why the famine has come and what have you, but now you look at what happens here. The brook has dried up, and look what happens in verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, you see, right there it is again. He didn't have to start scrambling and say, well, this brook is gone. The water's gone, and for some reason the ravens aren't coming anymore. Now what do I do? The word of the Lord is already right there. I can't tell you how thankful I am for God's word, how it will help us navigate through life if we'll listen to it. We have it. We know that it's there. Sometimes we see it. And then yet, we will try to experiment and do something completely opposite in what it tells us. And then we're like, why ain't things working out? Why aren't things working out? We're not following the instruction book. God gave this to us for a reason. I'm thankful. Here, we find that Elijah was willing to do that. Again, a man of God. Again, Yahweh is God. So we know he was on the right path. Faced a lot of things in his life, but he's on the right path. But look what he's told to do now. This is worse than going by a brook and waiting for ravens. He says, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Well, now he's got actually people to help him. So why is that so bad? You know, Zarephath, you know where he's getting closer to? He's getting closer to the capital of where the worship and prophets of Baal are. He's going into the fire. He's not getting away from the trouble. He's going straight into it. That doesn't make sense, does it? You think, okay, you know, he's going right where the trouble is, and right here with the famine, so it's getting worse. He is going closer to where his arch enemies are, and yet, still yet, needing provision. But you know, God God has a plan. He always has a plan. And so what we see here in verse number 10, he was listening. But you see how, again, I want to say this quickly, how God commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, I'm going to call time out just for a second, because you think, okay, God has Christians all over this world, right? He does. You think about our missionaries. You think about that, and you might find yourself, if you found yourself in another country maybe and needing some help, wouldn't it be miraculous if you ran into one of our own missionaries or something and say, man, that is God. Isn't that something? How that would work. I want you to see something important about this widow that I hadn't caught on to until just studying this week. I hadn't caught on to it, but I want you to see something here. Let's read a little bit further. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse number 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. See, so far you think, okay, God's working this out. He's commanded this widow, and he shows up. Elijah shows up. He finds her. Things are coming together. Things are working out, and he's asking her to give him what he needs. And she said, as the Lord my God liveth. No, that's not what she said. As the Lord thy God liveth. There's a difference in my God and thy God. That wasn't her God. I want you to see this morning, she was not a believer. When I tell you that God controls his creation, he controls all of his creation. I find that very amazing. You've got a woman here who's going through probably the hardest time in her life, and now a man of God comes on the scene asking for all these things, and she's not even a believer as he's a believer. Brother Ben, I'd never seen that. You know, my mind, again, sometimes reading things quickly, I thought, okay, God has Christians, believers, you would call them believers in the Old Testament, people who were in the way. Well, that's just God. But you think about this. You've got a woman, a widow, has nobody else to lean on. And now she has a son, and they're running out of food. What in the world are we going to do? That makes it worse. You know, back of my mind, she was a believer, and I was like, well, you know, if she and her son do die of hunger, at least they know where they're going. Now I do know where they would have been going. You know how bad that is? If something didn't happen, if somebody didn't intervene, you know how bad that is? Isn't it amazing how God sees everything? He knows what I need. He knows what you need. He knows what the non-believer needs. He sees all that. He's a merciful God. God can do things any manner of ways, but I tell you, to go from the brook Cherith after seeing this to her house, that doesn't surprise me too much, because that is how God works. He lines things up in an amazing way. But he'd command her. I think maybe you say, what does that mean? You can say, did he command her beforehand? Or is it he's going to command her when she gets there? Something I want you to see, that the importance of it is, she was willing to listen. She was willing to listen. You imagine how hard that would be in her mind. She's got her son with her. In her mind, I've got to make one more meal. I've got enough for one more. And we're going to make it. I have nothing to hope in. She wasn't praying. Who was she praying to? Unless it was a deaf idol, who would she be praying to? I'm going to make this for me and my son, and we're going to die. That's all I've got. Now you think about that, mothers. This is where maybe it ties in a little bit to the mothers. You'd probably do anything for your children, wouldn't you? Do anything. The underlying fact to this here, the number one thing that you can do to help your kids, your children, is to put God first and let them see that. I could tell you all kinds of things to do. You can tell your kids all kinds of things to do. You can say, this is what you need to do. This is the right thing to do. don't say this, don't go here, don't do this. This is the right thing to do, and your conscience maybe be clear, but here's the thing. If you're not following and doing those same things, you're failing them. That's the fact of it. Fathers, this counts for us just like it does for our mothers. It counts the same. Our kids are going to see what we do versus what we say. And I know I've said that a lot, but it's the facts. I told Brandy this morning, we're just talking about things. I said, isn't it not amazing how if you sit back and you watch people a lot of times that children will follow the same path as their parents do? Just sit back and watch. It doesn't happen. I'm not saying it's 100% of the time, but it's amazing how you see, well, yeah, this is how this person lived. And then as you see their kids come on, they're living the same way. The best gift that you and I can pass on to our kids is showing them who God really is in our life. How powerful, how omnipresent, and how omniscient He really is, and not cast the shadow of doubt on our kids. I say all that to say, look what happens here. She's explaining what she is doing. In verse number 12 again, it says, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, just two. This is a small meal. Two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This is it. That's my plan. This is my logical plan. I have absolutely nothing left. You think about the atheist this morning, the non-believer this morning. What's their plan? They have no plan. There's nothing left. If you're a believer, what's your plan? Should be, Lord, I want what you want. You talk about exceedingly abundantly greater than what we ask or think. That's where He dwells. He looks down at what is so confounding to us, and you know all He has to do? Sister Tanya just goes, it's done. He stretched forth His hand over creation and created everything and spoke it into existence. He looks down at our problems. That's all He has to do. He asks us to put our faith and our confidence in Him, our trust in Him. All she had left was logic. All she had left was what she saw in front of her. But look what verse 13 says. He didn't say, don't do that. He said, okay. He said, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Don't panic. I don't know in what state she was in. I'm thinking it wasn't good. Maybe acceptance had set in to some degree because she had her little plan in place. What else could you do? What else could you do? Elijah said unto her, fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first. Who do you think you are? I mean, really? I mean, you think about that. I mean, I've looked at it and, you know, as the preacher sometimes has a good name, sometimes a preacher can have a bad name or what have you, but this preacher shows up and is telling a non-believer, is telling him her situation with her son, and he said, yeah, do that, but I want to eat first. Who do you think you are? Did you not hear what I just said? We don't have anything. I mean, honestly, I was going to let my son have the majority of this, if not all of it, if he wanted it. But yet now you're saying you want it first? And it does say a little cake. If you read the way he wrote it there, and it said here, or the way it's written there, and it says, Elijah said unto her, fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. I want a little bit first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Saying, put me first. Here's the thing. This is the message. It wasn't that she was to put he himself, Elijah, first. It was an opportunity for her to put God first. That's what we need to see. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we see the person, the preacher, the teacher, the whoever. Sometimes we see the person when we actually need to be looking for God himself and what God is saying, what God is wanting us to do. When God is using somebody to tell somebody else to do this, to put him first, that's what he was saying. Do this first. I want us to know, had she made that for her and her son, he would have never learned what it was like to see her put God first. Logic would have said, we'll eat, and if there's something left, we'll give it to this stranger that we don't know. He's kind of talking big. Maybe he can do something, maybe he can't. He's kind of talking big right now. But when her son, who was hungry, knowing his mother loves him that much, did what he said, in his mind, they had to say, you know what, there's something more to this. There's something bigger than what you and I see. There's something bigger than just our logical plans. Maybe there's something to this after all. She had heard, because she said, the Lord thy God, she had heard of him. The problem is today there's a lot of hearing of, but not believing in. Many people will tell you they're a Christian. Many people will tell you they know the Bible, they have a Bible and what have you. The problem is they don't know what's in it, and they hadn't put faith in God yet. They've heard of him. Salvation is more than a heard of. It's a believe in. It's by faith. You have to put your confidence in him. Somebody can tell you how to get from here to Boone, and you could believe or think, well, you know, but until you put your confidence in it and say, I'm going that way, the way, then you've not actually put your faith and confidence in it. And that's what happens when you see this here, what is taking place. Do this first, is what he is saying. Verse number 14, I hurry along and I'm getting ready to close it. It says, verse number 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. God has you, is what he's saying. If you put him first, he has you. He has me. Now, that's not to say that trials and testings won't come. It will, because you don't know if you're going to put him first or not until you're put in that situation. God knows what we're going to do. You think about Abraham and Isaac. When Abraham drew back, was that for God or was that for Abraham? God knew what he was going to do. Abraham didn't know what he was going to do until he was right there in that moment. He didn't know. That was for him. And you see the reward that came after it. That's showing God that you trust him. That's what he wants. He wants to know, he wants us to know that we trust him. Does that make sense? He wants us to know we can trust in him. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she wrote, and she and he and her house did eat many days. They had all they needed. Many days it went on. I think sometimes, I want to stop here, and I was thinking, Lord, I don't know. I don't know people's situations. And if you financially are having a hard time, please let me know. But I think a lot of times in this day and time, a lot of times people have food to eat. People have provision to pay for bills and what have you. My number one concern in this day and time is not what you have physically, it's what you lack spiritually. That's what concerns me a lot of times. And that's not a negative saying. What I'm saying is this. We can find work sometimes. We can find things if it's a provision things. We can find things to try to run and gun things our way. And let me tell you something. The devil is absolutely okay with that. Here's the thing. You think about it like this. Look at it like this. Lord just really laid on my heart like this. Here's the thing. You think the devil cares how much you have if he has you? Why would he care? You know, one of the things in law enforcement, you know, people, a stressful job and everything, people, you get extra duty and get work all the time. These officers, they'd buy boats and buy all this stuff, and guess what? They have to work extra duty, and they couldn't be out on the boat because they're trying to pay for the boat. But they had it. Do you think the devil cares about a life like that? No, please, please, please have all these things. And guess what? I'll give you all the work you want, Brother Norman. Guess what? It's probably going to cost you Saturday and Sunday, though. So you can mark church off the list, but you'll have your boat. Well, the bank will have your boat. You'll be paying for it. Your time will be consumed in what I'm giving you. See, that's what worries me more than a lot of times. If you have a physical need, I tell you, it could be provided. Now, spiritual needs, you're going to have to take account for that. I know what it's like. I've seen what it's like. And I tell you right now, the devil could care less. He'll keep you busy. But if you want to get away from those kind of things and you really want to follow in what God has for you, you have to give some of those things up. I'm talking about spiritually following the Lord. She right here, that's the example of what she was given here. And just look at that again. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fell according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You see how it said there? And it ties it back in. I'm closing with this. According to the word of the Lord. Whatever he says, he's going to do. The big question is, what are you and I going to do? If God says, do this, and we do this, we have no room to complain or say a word. We didn't do it the way he said to do it. She did it the way he said to do it, and it failed not. The barrel wasted not. That's what I have this morning. If you don't mind, please stand with me. We do have something after the service to do, but if you will, stand with me. I'll ask the ladies to come.